Well, let's just unite our hearts in prayer, please. Let's all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee in the Sabbath morning for an opportunity to come into thy presence in Jesus' name. We commit now this Bible class into the hands of God, praying that thou would descend by thy Spirit into our midst. Let Christ of all the glory, let Christ of all the honor and the praise, answer prayer for Jesus' sake. In his name we cry. Amen. Taking our Bibles and turning to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Can I say, while you're turning that up, I'd like to welcome you all to our Bible class this morning, and especially our webcast viewers, welcome them. And wherever you're watching on from this morning or here in the church building, we trust that God will bless us as we gather ourselves around the Word of God this morning. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm beginning to read together at verse number 1. Let's hear the Word of God. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Ending a reading at verse 14, knowing God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite our hearts again in a moment's prayer. Each one of us seeking the Lord that he might come and bless us this morning in this meeting. Let's all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can approach thee now upon the ground of redemption and upon the merits of Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We thank thee for the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And Father, we come into thy presence and we bless thee for our way to thee by that precious blood that was shed in Calvary. Lord, we thank thee that we come boldly, confidently, yet reverently, realizing that thou art God and beside thee there is none other. We thank thee for an opportunity to come to thy house in the Sabbath day. And Lord, we commit this day into the hands of God. And we pray, Lord, that in this building that has been opened for the glory of God and the preaching of the word, that today thou might be pleased to descend in power. Bless every service. Lord, remember the Sunday school now as it takes place. Lord, bless the children as they're gathered round the teacher's knee. Fill each teacher with the Holy Ghost. Raise up a generation that know God. And Lord, as we gather on here now around the Scriptures, Father, I confess before thee and before this people my inadequacy to deal with what is now before me. But I commit myself into the hands of my God and Savior, praying thou would empty me of self and sin. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Cleanse me in the redeeming blood. And Lord, bless us now as we wait before thee. Hear prayer. Answer prayer. Remember our province. Remember those whose hearts are heavy. Lord, answer prayer. Visit us in these days. We cry in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we live in Northern Ireland, or indeed anywhere else in this United Kingdom that you want to name, surely it is with great lament that we gaze upon a nation that once was so blessed by God. We gaze upon a nation, whatever part you want to name, England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, all have known times of great spiritual awakening in days gone past. A nation which has sent missionaries across the world. A nation whose land has been stained with the blood of martyrs. And yet as we gaze upon our nation today, we see a nation where sin marches on, leaving a trail of destruction and misery behind it. But you don't need me to tell you, as we gather this morning here, what the need of the hour is in this land or in this nation. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need the Lord again to come and bless His church with the power of the Holy Ghost. For a church with no power is ineffective. That's why you'll hear the Reverend Greer or Dr. Pollock, as they stand to preach the word, crying in the Lord to anoint them with the power of the Spirit of God. You see, it was E.M. Bounds that said, "The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, He anoints men, men of prayer." The setting before us in Acts chapter 1 is this. The Lord Jesus has instructed His disciples in the midst of an evil world that they are to wait. They are to wait upon God for the power of the Holy Ghost. The setting is this: the Lord Jesus has died and risen again. He has appeared to Mary Magdalene and the disciples and the two on the road to Emmaus. The Lord showed Himself, as verse 3 tells us, by many, and showed Himself alive after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Lord has walked and talked with His disciples again. He has eaten and drank with them all infallible proofs of His resurrection. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Corinth, told them that Christ had been seen of 500 brethren at once. However, friends, soon the Lord was to go back to heaven. Soon the Lord will leave His disciples. They will walk no longer face to face with Christ. It was a day that the Lord had prepared them for. It was a day that the Lord had told them of many times. He said that when He would go away, He would send the Comforter. He said, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." The Lord Jesus Christ had taught the disciples of the ministry of the Holy Ghost that was going to be so essential for their future lives. The Apostle Peter has now been restored after his denial. The Lord has spoken words of kindness to His failing disciples again. See, the setting is this: 3 years they've walked with the Lord. 3 years they've listened to the Lord pray. They've listened to Him preach. They've watched the Lord who knew no sin, who did no sin. They've watched the Lord who couldn't sin deal with every situation properly, deal with every situation perfectly. But now the Lord's returning to heaven. Now the disciples are about to walk by faith, not by sight. But in His final words to these disciples, before they go into a world to preach the gospel that hates Christ, He says to them, quoting from Luke 24, verses 49 and 50, recorded for us here in verse 4 and 5, He tells them that they're to wait for the promise of the Father. They're to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, "Ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And verse 8, which is our text, says this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." These disciples are afraid. What are they going to do without the Savior? The Lord says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want to speak this morning, quite simply, on a message from Christ to his church in 2010. And it's this: the power of the Holy Ghost, still the church's greatest need. The power of the Holy Ghost, still the church's greatest need. I want firstly to look at the personality of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Bible teaches there are three persons in the Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Catechism says these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The three are seen many times in Scripture. We think of the Lord's baptism. There was the Lord, the Son, in the water being baptized by John. The Holy Ghost, like a dove, descends upon him, and the Father speaks from heaven. Or there at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, yes, before the Lord returned to heaven, he told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit is as truly a person as the Father and the Son. As I have said already, the Lord Jesus was going to send another Comforter. That's what he taught the disciples in John 14. That word, another, it means another of the same sort, who shall take his place as teacher, helper, protector, one who would supply the want of Christ's own presence, which the very thought of had filled these disciples with trouble and dismay. What were they going to do without the Lord? But you see, the Holy Spirit is not just a presence. He is a person. We must always be clear in that. Whenever Christ taught them, he always used the masculine pronoun, he. John 14, verse 6, the Lord said, he may abide with you forever. John 14, 26, he shall testify of me. John 16, 13 and 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me. There is quite clear evidence that the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not the Father or the Son. He's distinct from both. He's not a mere influence or an energy. You cannot lie to an energy. And yet Ananias in Acts chapter 5 was accused by Peter rightly of lying to the Holy Ghost. You cannot grieve an energy. And yet in Ephesians 4, Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus and warned them against grieving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. He is God. He's a third person of the Trinity. The incommunicable attributes of creation and providence are ascribed to the Spirit. The fine attributes of omniscience, he knows all things. Omnipotence, he's all-powerful, they're ascribed to him. The name of God is given to him over again, over and over again in the Scriptures. Because when it was said in Acts chapter 5 to Ananias that he had lied, it was said unto him, he had lied unto God. He had lied unto God, unto God the Holy Ghost. Divine worship in the Scriptures is also ascribed to him, to the Holy Ghost. It was Spurgeon who said, the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Ghost. We must adore him, yield in him, confide in him. It was McShane who said that we may grieve the Spirit as truly by not joyfully acknowledging his wonders as by not praying to him. We must pray that we know him to the full. But what's his work? What's the work of the person of the Holy Ghost? He glorifies Christ. If you ever hear a man and he tells you he's full of the Holy Ghost and he's full of self, well, it's quite clear he's not full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came to glorify Christ. He came to apply redemption. He testifies of Christ. He works faith in men. He only ever works through the Scriptures. He convinces men of sin. He regenerates. He quickens. He indwells all believers. He bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. He teaches. He guides us. Yes, when Christ said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another Comforter, that word another means another of the same sort. The personality of the Holy Ghost, he's God. But then there's the power of the Holy Ghost in our text. Because the Lord taught the disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, the great need of the church today, as I said at the outset, is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is also the great need, of course, of every individual believer. That word power, it means might, it means ability or strength. It's the same word as is translated there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And Paul's in prayer, and he's praying for the Ephesian believers, and he's praying that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let me just say something here. We're in the midst of a mission. We're in the midst of a campaign where the unsaved are gathering in, and we could do nothing better than take Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 and lay hold on God for our minister, for Dr. Pollock, that God will strengthen them with might by the Spirit in the inner man. As I said at the outset, God anoints men. He doesn't anoint plans. He doesn't anoint machines. He anoints men. And we could do nothing better than take Paul's prayer upon our hearts and pray, Lord, that thou might strengthen Dr. Pollock, that thou might strengthen the Reverend Greer with might by thy Spirit in the inner man, that they might be made strong, that they might be strengthened with that might that is not of ourselves. Oh, we know these disciples that the Lord was speaking to. Peter wouldn't have believed his power would have failed him, but it did. It did, and the Lord tells them now, don't depart from Jerusalem. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord until he come and give you that power that you need. You see, the promised Holy Ghost. The Lord said in John 15, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. What was the setting there in John 15? The Lord was telling the disciples, the world hates me. And if it hates Christ, it'll hate you. That's the world you're going out into to preach. That's the world you're going to be my witnesses in. But you must wait for the promise of the Father. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, this waiting for power, the Lord was teaching these disciples something. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not carry out his ministry on earth by the power that he had as the Son of God. He carried out his ministry by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ personally abstained from one step of his ministry until the Holy Ghost descended upon him at his baptism and John introduced him to his work. And had those apostles in Acts chapter 1 omitted to continue with one accord in prayer and supplication till the Spirit came and endued them with power, their labor would have been to no avail. Their labor would have been to no avail. It was essential they obey God in this matter. You see, they had already learned the hard lessons. They had already learned that the flesh would fail them. They had already learned that the work of God could not go forward in the flesh. And that's a lesson for us all. We need to speak to the Lord before we speak for the Lord. We need to begin our day with God. For church history and this book shows us that only those who are filled with the Spirit and endued with power see any real work done. That's a lesson for us all this morning. You see, that's not just a lesson for preachers. That's a lesson for every individual believer. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Because what's the will of the Lord for the believer in this subject of being filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, here it is, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord wasn't speaking there to, Paul wasn't writing there to preachers. He was writing to the church in Ephesus. He was telling this church that had been born out of riots, that was facing persecution, the great need of the hour is this, don't be full of wine. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And as our minister has taught us many times, you see, when a man's full of wine, it affects his speech, it affects his walk, it gives him courage. He behaves in a way that he can't behave without it. And the Lord Paul was telling this church here, don't be like that, but be full of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost control your speech. Then you'll edify. Let the Holy Ghost control your walk. Let the Holy Ghost control your thinking and give you boldness and courage to live for God. And friend, that is the need of a great hour. That is the need of the hour. The Lord says, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Tell me, dear believer, do you every morning wait before the Lord and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost for that day? Do you pray, Lord, or something like this, don't let the flesh control me today? I've learned the hard way with that one. Don't let the flesh control me today. You see, a church with its people full of the Holy Ghost, what an impact on society. Prayer meetings, bathed in the power of God. These disciples, what about them? Always envious of each other. Always wanting to be the greatest. Not wanting one brother to be blessed upon the other. They couldn't really cope with the blessing of God unless it was in them. And yet it was all flesh. Because when their turn came and their opportunity came to stand for Christ, they all fled. They all fled. The flesh failed them. And yet the Lord Jesus, meek and lowly in heart, filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. Filled with the Holy Ghost without measure, the Lord tells these disciples, He knows so well, do not depart. Wait in God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. There's the person of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the waiting for that power. But though it's not in the text, it's there by inference. What about the warning in the text to the believer? See, there's a warning here because the Holy Spirit is God. He's immaculate in holiness. He can't look and sin. He's a jealous God who's grieved by our sins. And Paul warns the church in Ephesus against grieving the Holy Ghost, against quenching Him, against losing out with God because they've grieved the Holy Ghost. And dear friend, when we have our conversations, the person of the Godhead, the third person, the Holy Ghost, He's in our hearts. He's closer to us than the very person we're talking to or what we fill our minds with. Oh, the Bible warns over and over again, this book, breathed by the Holy Ghost, do not quench the Holy Ghost. Do not grieve the Holy Ghost. Samson could tell you the awfulness of that experience. Not able to do any more what he used to do. Not able to live the way he used to live, no longer knowing victory. He'd grieved the Holy Ghost. He'd grieved the Holy Ghost. Turn with me, please, in this point to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I want you to see something here. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about on all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I want you to notice that when Christ went into the temple, he looked around on all things. He saw all about the temple, and he went out. It wasn't that he hadn't noticed. He'd noticed all things, the Bible tells us. But verse 15, the Lord returns to the temple. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And then what did he do? He brings the word to bear upon their hearts. He says, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. What was in view here, friends? Here was a temple, and it was not serving its purpose. It wasn't serving the purpose that God had raised it up for. And sometimes the Lord needs to remind His people, you're not serving the purpose that you were raised up for. The Lord reminds us all this morning in 1 Corinthians 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Or 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Sometimes the Lord needs to come along to His people and remind them they're the temple of the Holy Ghost. They're not their own. There's a way to behave, and it's not acceptable to those that are full of the Holy and are indwelt by the Holy Ghost, by the third person of the Trinity. By the third person of the Trinity. Maybe there's one here this morning. And like that temple in Jerusalem that the Lord went into, all on the outside looked fine. If I'd been in Jerusalem that day and walked by the temple, I wouldn't have seen anything different with the temple. But the Lord went inside. The Lord knew what was inside this temple. Maybe I speak to a dear believer this morning and all on the outside looks fine. You're here just the same as you are every Sunday morning. You look like a Christian because you are a Christian. But maybe something has come into the heart. And the Lord's saying there needs to be a clear out. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Though everybody else doesn't know what's in your heart, the Lord's saying, but I know. All those fleshly sins that grieve the Holy Ghost. The Lord's putting his finger on it. There needs to be a clear out. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But turn with me to Matthew 21, because if that is your position this morning, then there's great encouragement. There's great encouragement for you. Maybe this very mission we're having has passed you by. You've lost out with God. Maybe past missions, you couldn't get enough of them, and this one, you've lost out. You haven't been there. You're not interested. Whatever it is in the heart, sin, self, whatever. Look at Matthew 21. Look at verse 12 just to get the setting again. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all the... So he clears out the temple. Verse 13, he brings the word to bear upon them. It's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. But look at verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. After there was a clear out, the Lord began to work again in that temple. Maybe there's one this morning, even in this Bible class. You've lost out with God. Well, here's what the Lord's showing you. Get a clear out. I have still a purpose for you. I have still a purpose for you, but there needs to be a clear out. I'll use you again. But let's go back to Acts chapter 1. We got away there, but I think it was right to do so. Because there's the person of the Holy Ghost, there's the power of the Holy Ghost, but there is the purpose of the Holy Ghost, and the purpose of the Holy Ghost has not changed. Acts 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. There was the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't to make the disciples look good. As I said at the outset, if somebody tells you they're full of the Holy Ghost and they're full of self, it's quite clear they are not full of the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power. For the purposes ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The witnesses, or the purpose was this, they were to be witnesses unto Christ. And friends, the purpose we need, the power of the Holy Ghost is this. In 2010, we're called to be witnesses unto Christ. And it wouldn't have worked in the first century church without the power of the Holy Ghost, and it won't work today. These people went out to preach Christ. We live in a dark land, but what about their land? They were going out into a city that had just nailed Christ on the cross. They were going out to take the message that the one that they had nailed to the tree was the Messiah. They were going out to preach to the people to repent. What a land it was. And yet these men that waited on God, obeyed God, knew that anointing, that power upon their lives, turned that very wicked world upside down. The purpose was they were to be witnesses unto Christ. What was the Lord getting them ready for? He was getting them ready for a move of God. You read Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls are saved. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 saved. Acts chapter 5, multitudes of men and women born of God. Why? Because these men waited before God for the power of the Holy Ghost. A few days earlier, they'd all fled. A few days earlier, they'd all failed the Savior. But now they're preaching the Word in the midst of revival. They were Christ's witnesses. They were His witnesses in soul winning. That was the purpose. But they were also going to be His witnesses in persecution. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 3. And they laid hands on them, that's Peter and John, they've been arrested, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. And in verse 6, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and many were there of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And look what it says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "Is this the same man? Is this the same man that a few days earlier, before the maid, had said, 'I don't know him'? Is this the same man that had used language that a Christian should never use? Is this the same man? As he swore with oaths that he didn't know Christ. Is it the same man? What has happened to him?" Verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." Oh, he's not denying the Savior now. What made the difference? Now, Peter is not controlled by the flesh. He's controlled by the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost. There was the purpose. There was the purpose of the Holy Ghost. But what about the program? The program. We've looked at the person. We've looked at the power. We've looked at the purpose. But what about the program of the Holy Ghost? Verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." There it is, friend. There's the program. It begins in Jerusalem. Chapter 2 of Acts, they're preaching in Jerusalem. They're preaching there, they're living for God there. Because if they hadn't lived for God there, they would never have been living for God in Judea. They'd never have been living for Him in Samaria. Chapter 2, they're preaching the word in Jerusalem. Chapter 3-7 shows the gospel spreading to Judea. Chapter 8, it reaches Samaria. Chapter 13-28 of Acts, it goes into the uttermost parts of the world. Each one had a program for their life. That brings us to today, 2010. We preach the same message here in Northern Ireland. Why? Why? Because men in Acts 1 waited on God to fulfill the commission. And friends, in the uttermost part of the earth, you can add us in. The gospel's here because men waited on God. Men knew the power of God resting upon their ministry. My dear friend, we live in a land and we need this again. There needs to be an outpouring of the Spirit, a turning from sin, seeking the Lord, that the Holy Ghost will come again. We must wait on the Lord before we work for Him. We must speak to the Lord before we speak to others. We must do it. There's an order here. But finally, there was a promise. You see, these disciples weren't praying for something that hadn't been promised. The Holy Ghost has never been withdrawn from the church, friend, and never will. We must pray as these men prayed over the promise. We must say, "Lord, Thou hast said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." There was never any doubt in these men's hearts as they waited before God, as they waited to go out into that world that crucified their Lord. Not knowing what awaited them, the Bible tells us within a few years, or not the Bible, but church history tells us within a few years, many of these men were martyred. They were faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. But here we have them in Acts 1, waiting on God. Waiting on God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God we can take that same word back to the Lord. We can take that same word back to the Lord, the one that has said, "There shall be showers of blessing. I will cause the showers," the Lord said in Ezekiel 34, "to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing." There's the promise again. My dear friend, we need to pray. 1859 was a shower of blessing. They didn't wake up with it. I told you that before. They waited in God. They waited in the same reigning, ruling Christ, the one whose right it is to dispense the Spirit. And that sovereign act of revival pouring out the Holy Ghost. But my dear friend, you will never see any act of great revival in church history where men didn't lay hold on God for it. And it didn't come upon the preaching of the word. That's the need of the day. That's the need of the hour. I mentioned Samson earlier. He lost out with God. But thank God, all that Samson lost by the flesh, he regained by prayer and repentance. My dear friend, we need to pray like never before. Our land is in darkness. Our nation is in darkness. Our people, when I say our people, I mean our nation. Multitudes go daily to hell without a light to cheer the tomb. My dear friend, it's time to pray. It's time to call on God that He again will send the Holy Ghost. It's time to turn from all that grieves the Holy Ghost. It's an awful, I believe it's the worst position a Christian could ever be in, to be living a life that's grieving the Holy Ghost. What an awful situation. My dear friend, it's time to seek Him afresh that He might come and rain righteousness upon us. Let us all unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can come into Thy presence in Jesus' name. And we can say, glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. Great Jehovah, three in one. And Father, we just bow ourselves before Thee. We confess our unworthiness to approach Thee. We're all full of sin. We thank Thee for the One who's worthy seated at Thy right hand. The One who sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The One who has granted outpourings of the Spirit to His church in times gone by. And O Lord, we earnestly beseech Thee, for the sake of Jesus Christ, the church's head, that Thou might be pleased in these days to pour out the Spirit upon us. Bless this morning's worship service. Grant power to the One who preached the Word. Anoint Him and fill Him with the Holy Ghost. Grant us all that inner cleansing in Jesus' blood, that Thou might fill us, that Thou might use us. And come, O God, in this week of mission, and rend the heavens and come down, and make 1,000 hearts Thine own. And come, O God, and revive us again. Answer prayer. Let all that was of man in this Bible class this morning fall to the ground. But let all that was of God live on in the hearts of all who've gathered. Bless our webcast listeners. Let the Christ of God of all the glory, let the Lamb be praised, and let the kingdom of God and of grace be extended, the kingdom of darkness emptied out, many souls won for God. Hear prayer in heaven, Thy dwelling place. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And we ask them for Jesus' sake and for God's eternal praise. Amen.